Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And we're going to talk about some wrestling.
Yeah.
Classy. Although, today...
Well, yeah, we start off on quite a bit of sad news. Obviously, by the time you're listening to this, you've probably already heard of the news that Paul Bearer passed away earlier. It was last night.
Last night.
Tuesday night. The cause hasn't really been put
official.
Out. Yeah, it hasn't been put out in public yet or anything like that. Obviously, he's had some health scares in the past 10 or so years. But yeah, died at the age of 58. It's just unexpectedly.
Really, yeah,
unexpectedly, because last I heard he was making a lot of improvements. And
yeah,
all signs were good. It sucks, man. Like, this guy, you just think, like, all you have to do is just think about, like, all the wrestlers that he managed.
Yeah.
Not only in the Attitude Era, but even before then, in the 80s and late 70s, I believe.
Well, we have to do this a lot as wrestling fans,
right?
It feels like, is the thing. But I don't know. Paul Bearer was a big thing in my childhood.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he was part of the whole lore to Undertaker and Kane, like, and Mankind. Like, he added so much to those characters, and I really don't think that specifically the Undertaker and Kane storyline would have been nearly as impactful as it would have been without him.
No, absolutely not. And so,
my one favorite thing that I've ever seen, it was a video of him, just very candidly, very jokingly and relaxed, explaining, the night of Kane's conception. That was the funniest thing I've ever heard him talk about. And, you know, a lot of people have stories of, you know, listening to him, you know, just tell stories of his own, and it really, really sucks that we lost this guy.
Yeah. So, there's not a whole lot to say, but it just, like...
It sucks.
It does, and it kind of just, like, came out of nowhere, kind of hit you in the gut.
Yeah.
And so, there was, like, it seemed in a business where, like, there's a lot of negative things said back and forth about people by other people.
Absolutely.
Probably a lot of it true.
Yeah.
Like, Paul Bearer has always been, you know,
never,
spoken highly of.
Yeah.
I've never seen him tearing down somebody.
No, not at all. Like, he'll be candid and open to, like, you know, this guy, you know, at this certain point in his career wasn't as good in ring shape as he is now, or something like that. But he always had something nice to say about somebody.
Yeah.
Every time that I listen to an interview with him or anything like that. So, I mean, but yeah, like, to be able to have a pretty clean slate like that in the wrestling industry is pretty rare.
Yeah.
So, he was just one of the good guys.
Yeah. And I don't know if it'll happen this year, but he's a guy that deserves Hall of Fame status.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like that was going to be something, personally, I would have thought that, I thought at whenever Undertaker went to Hall of Fame, he would go to. But I mean, you know, maybe they'll make some arrangements, now that he's passed away.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of, as much as it sucks, it's kind of nice that he is honored as himself. As opposed to, like, a footnote of the Undertaker's career.
Right.
Because the man had
an amazing It was one of those things where the career he had, you couldn't help but to do that.
Right.
He had a completely successful career before he was ever involved with Undertaker.
Right.
You know? This, like, the Undertaker thing just sent his managerial career to the stratosphere, you know, to the next level. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it'll be really difficult for them to ignore an entire life's work.
Yeah.
You know, just for a footnote. So,
but we move on.
Moving on.
To, well, I guess speaking of Undertaker.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of an additional bittersweet thing, especially if the, you know, with Punk having Paul Heyman, there was not too much of a jump to be like, you know, to put managers in corners for this match.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And, you know,
that's not going to happen. No. Well, and you know what? I'm okay with that because I felt like even if this hadn't have happened, I would have rather Paul stick being at Lesnar's.
Yeah, I mean, we've said that before, that Lesnar needs that mouthpiece a lot more than Punk does.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And to be honest with you, I was surprised that Heyman was at Punk's side recently, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, it's set, Taker and Punk.
Yeah, I was not wild about this setup build-up.
Part of it
is can't be helped, because for the past 4 years, they've been telling the same, you know, the story has taken place over 4 years,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, him with versus Shawn twice and then Trips twice.
Right.
You know, has all been the continuation of this one story.
Right. And this is the start of something completely different.
Right.
Something new. Yeah.
So, but there has been like this legitimate, like, I need this match. I need this to happen. Right. And this one is a lot more like, well, it's WrestleMania time again. Guess the Undertaker right. gets
and
the match.
And to be honest with you, that's what the Undertaker match was before Shawn Michaels. And it's just one of those things where it's just, we forgot how that felt.
Right.
A little bit. I don't know. Like, there could have been a lot of worse choices for the Taker match. I'm glad it's someone that could hold up their end of things. So, I'm expecting...
As far as people who are doing it, I'm totally down with it.
Right. Like, you just didn't like the setup.
Yeah, the setup.
The setup was a little weak. I didn't like... A lot of people were saying, and I agree wholeheartedly, that, you know, Punk coming out saying that he's going to end the streak to spite the people, just because they love the streak and they love Undertaker, it seems just weak to me. I mean, I know it's early in the feud, so there's time for more story to develop. I just don't know what all Undertaker is actually going to vocalize here, because he doesn't vocalize much.
He's not a chatty fella.
Not anymore.
So
he's good at promos, but
yeah,
just, he doesn't like to talk.
Well, honestly, the thing is, I am not wild about Punk going into this match trying to get heel heat, just because. Yeah. Because there's so much of, like, you know, the undefeated streak is this, you know, monolith thing. I feel like the hope that someone might beat it is the appeal to it.
Right.
And to have the popular crowd opinion being that this person trying to break the streak needs to get, you know, defeated down and beat back into their place, right. is much less of an appealing thing for the match.
Yeah.
I like those numbered and one signs every year.
And I think, to be honest with you, I think we're going to see a lot more of those.
No, I mean.
Because, I mean, they're going to be in New York, very, you know, quote-unquote smart crowd. You know, like, they're knowing whatever, you know, Dolph Ziggler is going to be in. They know that Dolph Ziggler is going to get a huge reaction out of them.
Right.
So, and I think the same, I think it's going to be a lot more, I don't want to say really going to, favoring one side or the other with Punk or Taker, I think it's going to be pretty much split down the middle, because a lot of people are going to be split down the middle. I love Taker. I love Streak. I also think it would be kind of cool if Punk ended it.
I'm not
split down the middle. But I mean, I'm kind of cool with, you know, Taker going 21-0 at the same time. Like, I don't know.
No, I'm not split down the middle at all.
Why?
Punk all the way.
You want Punk to end it?
Well, yeah, I do.
So, I mean, but there's no shame in him being 20, like, no shame in him being the 21st loss, like.
No, there's not. I mean, I don't think this will kill Punk, but as someone who is, you know, unabashedly forever biased toward Punk,
mm-hmm.
this will give Punk that, you know, feather in his cap that nobody else can claim.
Well,
the thing he has right now is the twice Money in the Bank wins.
He's got that, and he's got his long range 25 years or so. So, I mean, I think he's got nothing.
I want him to have a very feathered cap, sir.
All right. You want him to look like a freaking peacock.
Yes, please.
Fine.
So,
I'm imagining a shirt somewhere.
Feathers in my cap and just like a giant Napoleon hat with feathers sticking out of it.
And each feather has like, you know, what each one signifies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd buy that shirt.
We should make that shirt.
We should absolutely make that shirt.
Okay. Twitter poll. Whenever you read this, reply to us if you would like to buy a CM Punk feather cap hat.
A hat? I was going to make a shirt. I don't want to actually make hats.
Oh. That's what I meant. I didn't say that right. A shirt of CM Punk's feathered hat.
Mini feathered hat.
Yes.
So.
Hashtag feathered hat shirt.
Sure. my point is that, and this is a grander scheme point.
Right.
I am really starting to feel strongly that Punk needs to start trickling back into more face territory.
Yeah.
And I don't
need... I think he was better as, like, in that gray area.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't feel any more genuine to me when he's getting the... when he's going so far trying to get that heel reaction than when he's mugging for the camera and his face reactions. Now, there are some great heel moments. This week when he busted out through the birthday party. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It was a good touch.
And a lesser heel would have stopped and had to cut a subpar promo about why Mae Young is not important. And he didn't. He just, like,
didn't have to. Yeah, no.
That was... perfect.
He just interrupted, got in the ring, cut a commercial.
Ready to go. And, like, I'm totally fine with keeping that. I'm totally fine with, you know, these heelish tendencies still existing.
Right.
But the thing is, especially if you are going to try and keep Punk and John Cena away from each other for the next, theoretically, a year, we talked about last time, you need a new way to have people facing other people.
Right.
Once Mania's over, you're losing Rock, you're losing Brock, you're probably losing Trips for the most part.
Taker's
gone. Like, a lot of part-timers here that are going to go. And you need to have an even number of faces and heels.
When we don't have that, there's a big lean towards heels right now.
There's a big lean towards heels, and
not enough top tier faces.
No, and the thing is that cramming these heels, younger mid card people trying to get over his heels, I don't think are getting their fair shakes.
No,
I think Damian Sandow is kind of stuck in this area because he can't further himself as a heel because there's this heel traffic jam higher up the ladder.
Right.
So, and Fandango's going to debut as a heel.
Yeah.
And so, theoretically, if it ever happens.
Theoretically. I don't care. As long as he's on TV, I don't care.
So.
Although debuting this close to WrestleMania seems really odd.
Yeah. Especially to not debut with any kind of angle.
Right. Especially when they were talking about this for months and months. Like, him debuting, like, months and months ago makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like, what was it, last year when they debuted or re-debuted Brodus Clay in, what, January?
Right.
I don't know. Didn't make any sense.
I don't know. It worked so that I was excited for him to come out and dance at Mania. Like, it got through that hump of, like, I don't want this to...
That did not have a good shelf life.
No.
No. Like, because it wasn't so long after that where we were like, okay.
We're done.
Yeah.
It's because it's the same thing every single week.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no deviation from that at all.
No.
At all. Now he's got Sweet Tea at his side.
I do kind of like that.
I mean, it's better than Tensai. I'll give you that. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, as far as, like, what you could have done with Tensai at this point, I think this is the best possible outcome.
Yeah.
This is better than I could have ever hoped for.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will take it. Absolutely.
Although it makes, like, Sweet Tea, like, I get it because it's Tensai, but... I think it would have been funnier if they did something with, like, Albert or something.
With Albert?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not thinking risk the Albert jokes.
What is there to lose?
I don't know.
A character that didn't work before on the, you know, basically the worst thing that happened is he could not work now.
I mean, they're going with Dancing Bears, so. I'm just saying.
Don't make me go there.
I'm just saying. Dancing Bears versus 3MB.
Oh, God.
That's the match that we're waiting for.
I shoved Dancing Bears in my face all day.
Over 3MB?
Over 3MB, yeah. Just all up in the face.
I'm going to get you on board for 3MB one day, sir.
No.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that... Okay, if the fact alone that Drew McIntyre is now on TV on a more regular basis, if that didn't draw me in, what else could there be? Because I was a big Drew McIntyre proponent. Both for, you know, I liked him, also for the comedic factor, which is something that, well, they discuss at a later time. So I think if that part alone, I just think it's the fact that they paired off with two of the people that annoy me the most in WWE.
Yeah. I don't get, gender still looks weird in that group.
Yeah. So. No, no, not at all. Him and his air sitar. So stupid.
That's so dumb, I love it.
See, yeah. See, here's the thing. We both just said the same statement, but I said it with disdain, and you were laughing while you were saying it.
He has an air sitar.
I know. I just said that. The point's not lost on me at all.
And you're not the humorously tickled in that concept.
I don't know, but I'm not.
I mean, I'm not saying that this is going to be the thing that makes me buy a pay-per-view. Yes! 3-minute air sitar solo. Take my money now, please.
Okay, now if he did an actual like 3-minute air sitar solo, like center ring with like spotlight on him and like a disco ball, maybe I'd be okay with that.
My point is, you're having to fill a 3-hour Raw. There's a lot worse things you can fill it with than air sitar.
I don't know. I'd rather
don't challenge him. Don't challenge him.
I don't know. I think I would rather see Mae Young give birth to another inanimate object.
Another hand. And then they're just going hand in hand.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we got to see Mae Young reunited with Sexual Chocolate.
For like a brief second. And it was completely worth it.
It was wonderful. I feel it's my duty to point out that Mae Young's 90th birthday was not on Monday. She's still 89. As of this recording.
I kind of figured as much, because I was like, that seems a little bit too convenient.
Yeah.
When is...
May, or March 12th.
So they could have done that, like...
Next week. Next week's the 11th.
So, I mean, unless she had, like, plans.
I mean, you know, like, I don't know how up she is for traveling, so, like, this might have been when they were closest to her.
Or, again, like, she could have just had plans...
Or she could have birthday plans. It's her 90th birthday.
I would have had some serious plans. Like, I would definitely...
I'm thinking, like, oh, gotta go to work.
I would definitely be laser tagging that day.
Yeah.
My 90th birthday.
Your 90th birthday.
Yeah, but we're gonna go to that same spot that we always go to. Hopefully it'll still be open. It'll probably be obsolete and still playing dubstep.
It probably will.
We should do that for WrestleMania.
Laser tag? Laser Mania?
Yeah, like the day before. I'm going to take off work that weekend.
I can be down for Laser Mania.
I'm sorry, we don't mean to talk.
You're all invited to the Laser Mania.
The Laser Mania. Did we do Laser Tag last year? Yeah,
Yeah.
Now I remember. Yeah, no. Other stuff that happened.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no, Laser Mania is fun.
Laser Mania is
only good things, Laser Mania.
We do Laser Mania the night before. We do the PowerPoint.
We do the PowerPoint.
How's the PowerPoint coming?
PowerPoint's coming along, sir.
How many slides are we up?
We're still compiling.
Okay.
So, we'll start to take shape over the next couple
Joel
weeks.
Joel likes to make a slideshow.
Well, we have friends who watch WrestleMania and nothing else all year long.
I know, surprise, surprise, we have friends that aren't wrestling fans.
I know. But, so, for their benefit, make a PowerPoint to quickly catch them up on the storylines and feuds that are going on.
So they're not completely lost, you know.
Right.
And I think it's a great civil service that you're doing.
I think it's wonderful.
I commend you for coming up with this idea.
Absolutely. I feel very honored to be
able absolutely. To and this. So what we do is we do the PowerPoint about like what, an hour before?
It's gonna have to be longer this year.
Yeah, it'll probably have to be longer. Just everyone gathers, and basically what it is, Joel comes up with a slideshow. I do the presentation without actually...
Having never seen the
slideshow.
I haven't
seen the slideshow beforehand. So, a lot of times, Joel will do whatever he can to make me look like an idiot. Or guess what my reaction is going to be to the next slide. and be like, hey, did Chris make this face? Well, that's what he always makes. He always makes this face whenever we talk about the subject. So I can only imagine what you have up your sleeve this year. We might. Well, we're gonna find a way to post this so everybody can see it.
So you can share with all your friends.
I might have to make an accompanying audio track.
Who are not full on wrestling weekly fans.
This is a sign up. You know those Hallmark books thing that you can record?
Yeah.
And like there's
like jingles the bup.
I did one for my mom for like a book that she really loved as a little girl. I recorded it for Christmas one year.
Okay.
Yeah, she cried her eyes out. It was amazing.
That made my mom cry.
Yeah. And, you know, like, there was a different audio file for every page.
Uh-huh.
If we could find a way to do that.
We can find that.
Online.
Online.
Yeah.
All right. maybe we'll just record it and we'll have one that's like, when you hear this sound, bring, it's time to turn the slide.
It really will just be Joel sitting next to me going, bring.
No, I'll probably have like a, this business.
I love it.
When you hear this sound,
I'm gonna try to breathe though.
Speaking of this business, guess who didn't say this business this week?
Yeah. You all right? I'm good. Triple H came out to do a promo. Two things wrong with this. First off, Triple H didn't hold the mic all weird. He didn't hold it by the cube thing.
No, he held the mic like a microphone.
Yeah, he held it like a real person. And, he never once said, this business. So, me and Joel, we were sitting here talking.
And here's the thing. I haven't seen him hold the microphone Triple H style since he cut his hair.
Are you sure about that? Like,
well, definitely seen him cut since he cut his hair. Like, now, last week when he, you know, wet himself and then... the time he came out to accept the Slammy, at which point the mic was in front of his face on the podium. All right. So that's the only time he's been out in the, you know, in WWE
with the
shaved head. He still had the long hair for SummerSlam.
Right, and okay.
The week after SummerSlam was when he's like, you know, that big waste of time thing was like, I might retire. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, he
think
held
about it.
It.
Yeah, and he held it funny.
All right.
So
Joel has this nice conspiracy theory. Would you like to...
Logical conclusion is that's not Triple H. That is...
So you're thinking it's a clone?
I think it's...
humanoid robot?
I think it's Twitter celebrity, not Triple H, who has...
Wow.
And since Triple H is now on Twitter, not Triple H has retaliated by coming onto WWE and taking Triple H's place.
And I have done my own... I've tried. I pulled a Michael Cole and Glenn Beck. I've sent tweets both to the actual Triple H and the parody Triple H account. Requesting a comment on this situation. Mm-hmm. Neither has
Nothing.
Replied.
We encourage you to help us.
Help us out.
Settle this matter.
Send tweets to both of these Triple H's, and let's find out the truth, because that is what we do here. We spread the good news, and we do good works.
High investigative reporting.
Oh, wrestling gods, bless us.
Yes, indeed. All right. Here's my question for you
yes.
this week.
Right. We're at question time already. Wow.
Yeah. Well, do you have something else that happened this week?
Not at all.
Ric
Flair came out and he humped the second rope.
Yep.
I already made a joke about that on Rager, so go read that.
Yeah. It didn't make me laugh, but it made me breathe really heavily out of my nose for a second.
I was laughing. Okay. Old School was not all that good. It was a regular episode of Raw. It was a good episode of Raw.
It was a fine episode of Raw.
But Old School, like a special quote-unquote Raw.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this before. I don't even know if we talked about it on the podcast or just to each other.
It's really blurs these days.
Yeah. But the thing is, we've known pretty much what the main matches in WrestleMania are going to be
yep.
for weeks or months now. We've known, you know, even though it wasn't announced, we knew it was going to end up being Twice in a Lifetime and Taker Punk and Trips and Brock. And so we have all our opinions on that. So
yes. What else is there?
Now that they're actually... developing those storylines, like, see above, opinions stay the same.
Right.
So, it's a fine episode, you know, stuff's chugging along nicely towards Mania, but that's why this week I had to prepare two questions, so we have...
plenty of things to talk
yes.
about.
So, first question.
Okay.
You are tasked with booking the Shield in a way that it is not a filler match. while still adhering to all the four big, or the three big matches that we know is are going to happen.
So I would have to put this match in a way to where it doesn't feel like, where it actually feels like it has some sort of meaning.
Right. Right now, it feels like it's going to be Shield versus three faces that don't have anything to do. So how can you get the Shield involved in a way that, you know, so you have the Shield, a prominent way, don't lose this momentum that the Shield has, carry it through WrestleMania in a big, important way? And the easy answer, so I'm going to go in case you were thinking of this, I'm going to go ahead and take this away from you right now. Okay. The easy answer is have them be working for John Cena, and he turns heel at Mania with the help of the Shield, gets the belt. That's the easy answer. Don't do it.
But that doesn't answer for their match.
I just said they got to be involved.
They got to be involved.
Yes.
So, in WrestleMania.
In WrestleMania. Use the Shield storyline. Keeping that.
I would feel like they would have to do something like, you know, some stipulation where if they lost, they would have to disband or something like that.
I don't like those stipulations.
I know. But other than that, what are they going to be fighting for? It might as well just be him, Ryback, Cena, and Sheamus all over again.
I mean, this is the inherent problem when stables don't have, or even just wrestlers themselves, don't have specific goals in mind. When they're fighting for justice or respect, like, you can't really...
Or, I'm assuming, bigger locker rooms? Is that what Nexus is wanting?
Yes, yeah, they were talking about a broom closet on NXT.
Oh, God, well...
They probably had to share with Triple H's broom.
That makes for a very small closet. That broom has skills. A lot more skills than
half the locker room. No,
yeah, oh, that broom could whoop Michael Tarver all over the place. Is he alive?
I'm probably.
Fair enough.
I mean, I think I would know if not, although I won't promise you that.
Exactly. I don't know. Some sort of stipulation where they're forced to go back to NXT? I don't know.
I mean, you know, if the disband is the thing, I guess they are, you know, they had WWE contracts in the beginning.
Right. I'm assuming...
Like, NXT at least kind of, like, had to earn their contracts through,
right,
you know, violence. But I guess the Shield had contracts at SummerSlam.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they kept referring to them...
I mean...
Before they had a name, they kept calling them the NXT upstarts. So it's pretty much implied that, you know, they already are under contract.
Right. So...
So I don't... Like, you can't really pull the, you know, if you win, you get your contract, or if you lose, you lose your contract, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any little storyline there. I don't know, maybe do something, like, to where they have to contain, where whoever they're facing has to, like, force the Shield to be contained in one area, so they can't, like, run away whenever things goes wrong.
Yeah.
So some sort of cage match, maybe, but.
With the Shield in it?
Yeah.
Be a lot of stuff in there.
That would be a lot of stuff.
Especially if it's, yeah. Well, I guess cages don't have steel, Hell in a Cell.
Unless they did a Hell in a Cell. Like, if they did Hell in a Cell.
That'd be six guys in the ring and two cameramen all within that.
That would be a lot.
No, that'd be a lot. Be a lot of people in there.
Unless they bring back Money in the Bank and Shield's, like, everyone who's involved in this has had more... all these chances, it's an injustice that they get another chance in this match. We're going to...
I would actually be really... I'd be really interested in that.
And see if they work together.
It's like when Punk was in charge of the Nexus for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, these guys clearly working together. I would be interested in seeing a Money in the Bank with that effect on it. So, all right. That's the best way to do it, I think.
I knew if I, like, you know... trudged around in the mud for a little bit.
I know. That's how these questions work. There's not yes or no questions.
Why did, though, if you wanted me to have a good answer right off the bat, you know?
No. If I wanted you to have a good answer right off the bat, I'd give you these questions ahead of time.
Yeah, sure.
The goal is to...
If you ever wanted to make me look like a genius, we would have set this up a long time ago.
That is never my goal.
No. You'd rather me just kind of struggle with
flounder around. Yeah, but then we get weakened at Sheamus's.
True. Very true. That was a glorious, glorious revelation.
It's worth it. But the other question is pretty much the same question. You get to full booking of next week's Raw. Whatever you want. Now here's the catch. The week after, they can do whatever they want.
Right.
So you can't, you know, do something super crazy, because you can, but it won't have any lasting effect because they'll just undo it the next week. So something, what would you do if you had next week's Raw? Whatever you wanted to do, that's what they would book.
I'm assuming I can't say have Money in the Bank match with the Shield.
I mean, you could, but now it's a cop-out. Because you just stuck it earlier.
I would like to start a... Since I'm only going to... Well, since I can only control that one Monday Night Raw, I would have spread out throughout the entire show, which is a lot easier to do with 3 hours, a tournament, and the winner of the tournament will face... it's their choice, the Wade Barrett or Tony Cesaro at WrestleMania. That way we can set up some sort of coherent storyline for a mid-card belt to be defended at WrestleMania.
Okay.
First of all, I missed having tournaments. The King of the Ring thing happens way too infrequently for me.
See, I love it that much.
I don't like it whenever they try to overdo the storylines in it.
Yeah.
I like it when there's just a straight tournament.
I mean, I like, and I wish there would be more of competing for the sake of the title.
Yeah.
Like, far too often, you know, these guys both want the title, plus they hate each other, plus one of them's a heel and spat on the other one's mom's grave.
Right.
Well, you know, and so...
And I mean, that's why you do that stuff like now, that, you know, that will create some sort of tension between the challenger and the champion. Like, there doesn't necessarily need to be a standing feud right now, although they probably would try to do that, you know. Like, oh, it just so happens the guy that Wade Barrett's been feuding with all this past month gets a title shot at WrestleMania or whatever.
Right.
You know, they would be very tempted to do that.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what Swagger is. Like, he came back and suddenly he really hates...
He suddenly hates the Hispanic champion. Like, yeah, so, like, it's...
I wonder who's going to get that title shot all of a sudden.
Right. I would like to see something like that. That would take up most of the time on Raw. And that would kind of be your focal point. Like, last week, the focal point was... Who will Undertaker face?
Right.
We've solved that mystery. So next week, let's solve who will face... Well, let's just say the Intercontinental Champion.
Okay.
You know. So, you know, that's a way to solve one more question on the card.
I think it's definitely better to give the winner a choice. Always.
Right.
If you can
ever
do that, I always encourage that. I like that at the Rumble. It adds a little bit of mystery as to who the winner might be.
Also, you're saying, like, they don't announce... Who they're challenging until WrestleMania?
No, I'm saying if you're like, this is a tournament to face Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship.
Right.
Sheamus is going to win. Because we've seen that. But if you say, this is a tournament and the winner gets to choose these two things, there is, you know, I mean, then you're like, oh, Sheamus or Miz is going to win. But, you know, there is a little bit more.
You still get to see something a little bit more entertaining on Raw.
Right.
Rather than just like, oh, okay, well, Sheamus is going to get that. Like, it sets up something a little bit extra beyond us already knowing what the outcome is.
Right.
Because knowing the outcome is only, like, it only ruins it to a certain degree, you know. If you know the outcome, but the process of getting to that was a lot better than what you were expecting, it's kind of worth it at that point.
Right.
You know. So, I would like to see something along those lines, yeah.
Okay. That's it?
I mean, between them, you would have your CM Punk Undertaker promo. You would have probably have a Lesnar answer back to.
Now this is you can do anything you want.
Well, I'm just trying to be logical too. Like, I'm also trying to put, you know, a coherent show compared to what was the previous week.
I mean, you don't have to.
I know I don't have to, but I'm trying to actually do, you know, a good job.
Yeah, I think you can do a good job. I'm really trying to spoon feed you this answer that I was sure you were gonna give out, but you wouldn't at all rehire Chris Masters if you had booking opportunity.
Well, again, I was trying to be objective. I was trying to be an objective guy who's putting on a good show. That's logical.
You now, know, I mean,
absolutely. If I was given the keys to the car, yes.
That's why I'm giving you the keys right now.
Chris Masters would be the new. He would. You know what? He would be the surprise entrance in the tournament.
There you go. See, that's all I want. All
right, then.
See, I'm saying is like,
if Chris Masters, Shelton Benjamin, MVP, all of them show up.
Like I'm saying,
and the internet goes happy.
Sure. Yeah. My point is,
I'll throw you a bone. Like, have Evan Bourne return John Morrison. How's that?
All right. I don't know. That's the thing.
I'm trying to make you happy now. When you just give me a shrug.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if John Morrison would want to come back. You know?
He's open to it.
They were saying that, you know, he's left on good terms and he'll probably be back at some point. So I think that Chris Masters was kind of, you know, dropped off the dock right there. So he'd probably jump more at a, you know, come back right now thing. John Morrison, he might have a pitch or some plans down the line. Evan Bourne is a guy who, like, you know, unless he's still severely injured, then I would not like him to come back because he'd just crush him.
How is that different than when he's healthy?
Fair enough. My point is, like, if you booked in your Keys to the Kingdom week next week, if you booked Rock to lose to Doink, then the next week they would just fix that. So, like, you have no lasting effects.
As much as I despise Doink, I don't know, that might be tempting.
I mean, you can do that. If that's worth it to you,
no, just
to
not like, at all. I hate doing too
for
much.
So etched in history, The Rock lost to Doink the championship for 1 week. Like,
I would, you know what? I would actually have Rock be in a match.
Oh, that's no. I'd have The Rock defend. That was one of my things.
Defend? Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even gonna. I was gonna I have mean, him be on Raw for once.
And if I guess I'd have to like push it.
Who would you put him up against?
Doesn't even matter that much.
Just for nostalgia's sake, I would see Jericho.
I could do a Rock Jericho match. If the, you know, I don't think the time has passed since Chamber, but like I would if this was a few weeks down the line, I would invoke the must defend every 30 days thing that they, you know, ignore except for when it's important. But, you know, I like it. I like title defenses on Raw. Definitely have The Rock in a match. I would definitely do that. I don't know. Like, bringing people back, though, I don't really have one that I would definitely be all about.
The likeliest right now of guys that would return seems to be MVP.
MVP?
Now that he left New Japan Pro Wrestling, he says he has these other things he wants to look into, but
I mean,
he wouldn't rule out a WWE return.
I think if I opened the door, Matt Hardy would come running.
Oh, God, you really open the door for him.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, some sort of, like, door to, like, a Cracker Barrel or something like that. And again, this is, like, an overweight guy calling Matt Hardy fat. So, I mean, pot kettle.
So, comrade.
Comrade, come join me. Well, I wouldn't go to the Cracker Barrel because I hate Cracker Barrel.
I think he would be the most likely to be like, yeah, return, okay.
Right.
So, but I don't really need Matt Hardy back right now.
No. And to be honest with you, the only way I would justify Matt Hardy ever coming back is if Jeff came with him and did a Hardy Boys thing.
Definitely. Like, if I was told to bring them back, I would absolutely only as tag teams. Only
it's just one of those things where, like,
championship.
Jeff left at such a freaking, like, pinnacle.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I understand, like, why he left, because, you know, he already had quite a few strikes against them, and another one seemed to be on the horizon. You know? I think now...
And as we continued to see, like...
Right. So, I mean... I don't know. I know that one's really not likely, but... Yeah, Matt Hardy would just bounce back.
Like, yeah.
He would just chomp at it.
Yep.
Speaking of people coming back, we had a New Age Outlaws.
We did. Match,
and they're already booking a match with them for next week's Raw. Them versus Road Scholars.
You think there's a thing happening there?
There might be. I mean, they didn't look bad.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn still looked pretty fit.
You don't think they're going to make them champions, do you?
Probably not champions. I don't know. Well, then again, I don't know.
They'll have to change their chant.
What do you mean?
Aren't they 5-time champion of this world?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still one syllable.
I know, six. But it'd be weird. Don't tell me it wouldn't be weird for them to have to do 6-time champions.
Well, technically, Booker T's 6, but he still goes 5-time.
When was the last time Booker's gone 5-time?
He does it sporadically here and there. All especially right. when he was on commentary.
Alright.
But even though technically he's 6.
Is he 6, really?
I believe all right.
So. Alright.
I mean, if people want to fact check me on Twitter, #6-time champion. Yeah.
Out these hashtags.
I'm a hashtag machine up in here, clone Triple H.
Fair enough. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if they are really genuinely trying to do something with tag teams, which I go back and forth on if I really care.
Right.
Be
honest with you, I would rather them try to push one of their own tag teams they have. Like, primetime players, like, they dropped the ball on that.
Yeah.
I mean, why not we just pick the ball back up and just start
it's right there. It's not right like there. The ball rolled away.
Exactly. And, like, it seems like a lot of people are behind Titus O'Neil. I understand why. He's a fantastic athlete.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you use him? You know, I'm not a big fan of Darren Young, but that's just me. I just think, you know, they were so ready to get behind them up until the AW situation. And even then, they kept them around for a while. But now, they're just doing nothing.
Right.
They might as well be the clones. Might as well be the Usos.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a big demotion.
I mean, you know, when I think of the tag team division, obviously it's the one match, WrestleMania 17, the tables and ladders, the second tables, ladders, and chairs match. And I feel like if you are really trying to get this tag team thing back on track, doing a full tag team division, that's got to be your end goal.
Some sort of lead to that
insane, amazing match.
Yeah.
Like that. And I would definitely do it with at least ladders because, you know, that's my biggest complaint with the tag team is the tagging in and out, and it's just singles matches. I like
the one thing that you hate about tag team wrestling is the tagging aspect.
Yes, absolutely. What do they call it when everybody's legal? Like tornado tag?
Tornado tag, yeah.
It's a dumb name. But I like that.
I know.
I like that better. It offers a lot more opportunity for different styles of strategy rather than...
Well, if that's the case, just seems the title to be like the team championship.
That works for me. Whatever. I don't care. But my point is, especially right now when every major tag team is just two single, you know, competitors smushed together.
Well, yeah, that's what every tag team is, really.
No.
Other than certain guys that are able to incorporate some sort of, like, team moves.
But I'm saying there are tag teams that have come up together as tag teams, and right. Later one of them branched out, or both of them. Right. Usually one of them branched out to singles championship. But now that so many of the tag teams are guys who have separately achieved singles championship, then getting pushed together into the same tag team.
Right.
It is even more so just this guy will fight for a while, then that guy will fight for a while. There's nothing different about a tag team than there is about...
So you're saying that you hate Rock and Sock Connection.
I don't hate Rock and Sock Connection.
Bam.
No. Because Mick Foley trumps all. You gotta go with the hierarchy.
All right. I was trying to get a nice little gotcha moment, but
I know how
far in the tank you are from Mick Foley.
Absolutely,
and rightfully so. I was just trying to find a nice little getcha because that is the pinnacle of two guys who've had success on their own.
Yeah.
Getting a push as a tag team.
But the biggest appeal of Rock and Sock Connection is just the fact it wasn't their tag team ship or ability in the ring. It was the fact that they got to be in the ring together.
Right.
It's the same thing with Team Friendship.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, I like the two dudes together. And I'm okay with them being tag team because that's a constant excuse to put them together every week. So, you know, as far as guys having chemistry together and just bouncing off each other in promo skills, It's a whole different thing.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, even with Rock and Slot Connection, I would have been happier if there was more Tornado tag team style than the regular tag team.
Actual tag team.
So. All
right. I get it. Like, their current formula of getting the hot tag and all that stuff, their formula for tag team wrestling has gotten pretty stale.
It is.
They just need to do something to switch it up, to make it a little bit more interesting. And I think, to be honest with you, Shield showed that a couple Monday nights ago when they just did a straight up tag team match, and they pulled off some really good moves that I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And I just think if people started incorporating stuff like that, I think people would be able to get behind the tag team division a lot more.
Well, that's three guys.
Well, it's three guys, yes, but a lot of the stuff they pulled off could be easily pulled off by two guys.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
All in all, you can still only have one guy in the ring.
That's still like...
I know. You don't like that.
No. I stand. I shall not be moved on this
one. You just want just all the bodies showing up. All the bodies in the ring at the same time.
That's why Royal Rumble's my favorite.
True. I mean, I'm not arguing against that.
So. And, I mean... It just leads to it makes the refs look even more incompetent than they already do. Because there's never been a clean tag team match. It's like, oh, what? I really wish I could help you, but I have to hold this rope. I'm sorry. Vitamins and whatnot. So,
that rope?
Yeah.
That rope just seemed to appear, like, out of the blue one day. I think back and I'm like, I don't remember tag teams ever using that rope before. Yeah, no. And just one day it appeared. Like, you have to hold on the rope at all times. And no one really does. Except for Cena. Because he holds on to it and then he cheers with his other hand.
Yep.
He tries to get the crowd.
And he does the, move. That was me doing the thing that you've seen Cena do. You can't see it, but you've seen Cena.
But you know exactly the hand motion that he's talking about. So screw you.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, I'm kind of out.
Any good movies lately?
Because The Call is out.
Oh god, The Call, Dead Man Down, yeah.
Oh yeah, Wade Barrett had a line in that trailer.
He did. And then he said on Twitter today that it's like, you know, just like letting everyone know there's language gets a little blue at sometimes. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry, yes.
Thanks, Wade Barrett.
Oh, okay. Colt Cabana started a new YouTube show. I don't know if you know about it, called Worst Promo Ever.
I've seen it. The
I just started watching that this week, and that I legitimately like giggled a lot.
Alright.
I dig it. The new one with Punk was good. I liked it.
I'll check it out. Worst Promo Ever. Alright.
So yeah, we're plugging other people's stuff here when they should be plugging us because they got a lot bigger of an audience than we do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So we plug you, you plug us. Fair trade, right?
That is a very fair trade. Colt Cabana, if you're listening to this, please send us an email at classroomattire@gmail.com.
You can also follow us at...
Is he in the show?
At CRattire.
Go home.
It's the day of the show. You can also follow us at CRattire on Twitter every Monday. There'll be lots of live tweeting and appropriate Sundays as well.
If you are not Colt Cabana, or you may be Colt Cabana... We would love to hear from you. We'd love for you to send us an email. Anything you want us to address on the show. Questions, comments, hate mail. I don't care. Just send it all. If you want to send us money, then, dear Lord, you can send your information via email, too. That is classyringattire@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Tumblr. Tumblr?
Tumblr?
Tumblr. Sometimes it has extra syllables. You can also follow us on Tumblr. Whatever. ClassyRingAttire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast as well as other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Finally, we are on iTunes. Look us up on... I said iTunes, right? Shut up.
I'm still giggling.
We are on iTunes. You can download us on iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes. You get new episodes automatically every week. You can also give us a review. You can give us a rating.
5 stars.
It'd be pretty awesome.
5 stars!
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.